Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank y'all for having me. How we doing?
Good.
Good. Okay, so make sure that we're awake. All right. And I never use this to reach. I was like paper, if you can believe a millennial doesn't like technology. But I don't have a printer at home and didn't realize that I wouldn't be at church, my church. So we're working through it. That's kind of going to be the theme for today, so you'll get more of that. But would you join me, please, in a word of prayer? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us and mold us. Fill us and use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Last month, my wife and I took a vacation to London and several cities around Ireland. We flew from London to Dublin on a Saturday and then drove to a smaller town of Kilkenny. So our first full day in Ireland was Sunday. When making plans for our first day, my wife, who is also a United Methodist pastor, said we should go to church. And I felt compelled to remind her we were on vacation. But I conceded, and we made our way on Sunday morning to the Kilkenny Methodist Church. The service started at noon, so we arrived about 10 minutes before, and the room was fairly small, with just three rows of chairs facing a small pulpit. We were wearing big raincoats and fanny packs around our waist, so I think it was pretty obvious that we were tourists. We sat down and waited for the service to start. A man in a robe and clergy collar sat at the front, but besides him, there were no other helpers in worship. No choir, no praise band, so no choir director or worship leader. This was a small, homey church. Well, 11:55 came, then noon, then 12:05, then 12:08, and at 12:10, a woman with three small children grabbing at her legs and waist hurried in like a tornado, carrying a laptop computer and cords and cables extending in all directions. It looked as if she was holding an electronic octopus, its tentacles thrashing about as she jostled her children into the room. The kids were dropped off quickly at Sunday school. Then the woman ran towards the front of the room and plugged in her computer to a projector on a cart. Shortly, a screen came on and a YouTube video started playing. You see, in lieu of a choir or praise band, they would play a worship song online with words on the screen, and we would all sing along. The pastor, I think relieved, invited us to stand and sing as we were finally ready to start worship. The music began triumphantly, and we sang together with confidence, "Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of..." You get it. It was a beautiful reminder that even across the world, the church gathers and sings praises to God. The first verse was strong. But then, as we were finishing that first verse, singing, "Join me in glad adoration," the internet cut out. And each of us were waiting for someone to start the second verse. The room was filled with a gaping silence. You see, there were no hymnals or song books in the chairs. We simply relied on the video to lead us through the song. But when it didn't work, not one person in that room knew the second verse to praise to the Lord the Almighty. Looks of terror and panic darted from face to face. You could see everyone thinking, what do we do? One church member ran to the corner of the room and started pulling out stacks of books. Finally, hymnals. He handed piles of books to others who began passing them around. Someone yelled out a page number, and the pastor repeated it. A woman in the front row turned to me and said, "You are singing loudly. Give us a note." So I, a foreigner attending Kilkenny Methodist Church, at the behest of my wife, became their impromptu choir director for that day. You see, we followed this pattern every single time we sang. Every song was in a different praise book, so someone had to go run and get a new set of books. Someone would call out a page number. The pastor would repeat it. We would all clumsily find it in the book, and I would start leading the song. It was chaotic and dizzying at times. But there was a scrappy sense of ownership that arose in the room. You see, the regular preacher was on vacation. Don't things seem to go wrong when pastors go on vacation? So this was a guest preacher who did not know the customs and rhythms of this church. Everyone was thrown off. And in the madness, the people of the church took worship into their own hands. They scoured for the words their hearts did not know or that their minds could no longer remember. And when they found them, they filled the room with a song so powerful it warmed my heart. There's something very special about congregational singing, communal singing. Don't get me wrong, I love piano and organ and guitar and bands, even tracks and CDs, but when we only have our voice to sing, we start to do this really neat thing that I don't think we do a lot in other places. We start listening to each other. We pick up a shared pace, a common tone, a collective sound, and soon many voices become one voice. The Israelites experienced immeasurable loss and devastation. Their temple was destroyed. They were attacked and captured, forced into exile and captivity into foreign lands, forced to worship foreign gods, forced to sing foreign songs. And over time, their traditions and their music were forgotten. And when they were finally allowed to return to rebuild the temple and reclaim their home, many were coming to Jerusalem for the first time, having been born in exile. Psalm 98 that was read earlier comes out of this time when the Israelites had returned from captivity, restored the temple, and were coming back to the heart of worshiping the one true God. But does the psalm say, well, we try singing the songs that we used to sing, but we really couldn't remember them? Or we sang the first verse really well, and then we couldn't remember the second verse. No, it says, sing to the Lord a new song. Things may not be like they used to be in Jerusalem. Maybe the restored temple looks a little different than it was before. Maybe the bathrooms weren't exactly where we remembered them. Maybe the people leading the songs and the prayers were no longer there. Maybe we lost the hymnals when the temple was destroyed. Filled with heartbreak and pain for all that was lost and taken from them, the Israelites still gather and sing a new song. But this time they're not alone. The entire earth is joining in their worship. Seas and hills and creatures are praising God, whose steadfast love endures all things. Come all who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. We are experiencing an interesting time as the church. Christianity and faith in general are on a historic decline. And within the United Methodist Church specifically, there is hurt and grief as our denomination charts forward, as some have left. Yet, broken and weary as we may be, the Spirit of God is singing a new song. God is doing something. Hope is on the rise. So can we, church, can we learn a new song? Things may not look the same. Church may happen inside and outside of a sanctuary. Our songs and creeds and prayers that are so dear to us may take on new sounds and styles. But what will never change is that the love of God made real in Jesus Christ is for everyone, and we will worship the steadfast love of God that endures all things. This is a time when it may feel like the temple has been destroyed, or like the internet cut out and we didn't know the words to the next verse. So we must decide if we are going to stand frozen and resistant to that holy wind of God, that Pentecost fire, or if we are going to follow where the Spirit is leading us. Do we trust that the God who has seen us through will see us through what's next? That the Spirit will put a new song in our hearts. And will we start to listen to the voices around us? Will we gather together, varied and different, and maybe even at times disagreeing? Not that we ever do that. And discover that God is cultivating a robust choir of sinners and saints to point to where God is going. How are we singing towards the kingdom? Well, like singing, it starts in our lungs, right? You have to take a good deep breath. You have to make room for all of the air you can muster. The air that we need in this journey of faith is hope. Hope is not blissful ignorance that everything is going to be hunky-dory. Hope is a practice. It is an active expectation that even as things are painful, saddening, and devastating, that God is at work. Not to forget the bad, but trusting that even in the midst of it, God makes good on God's promises. That things are coming together for good, and if it's not today, it will one day. making room in your soul for hope. We need hope to continue being that heavenly choir, singing a new song. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. I found more hope filling my soul in that small church in Kilkenny, in a country where Christianity is in greater decline than here. I felt the Holy Spirit moving. I saw people practicing their faith together in a very real way. And it happened even when the internet didn't work. Even when we passed communion earlier than it was slated in the bulletin. Even when children were screaming and throwing toys against the door. Why? Because God does not need us to get it perfect. That's not our job. Neither is holding the rubric for someone else's imperfection. We do not gather to get it right or to point fingers when others get it wrong. We gather to give thanks to God for making us right even when we get it wrong. Jesus is a restorer, a redeemer, a reconciler. These words mean to make right, to heal. In him all things are made new. At the end of that worship service, the woman with the cables and the children came up to us and apologized for the service being such a mess. So we let the cat out of the bag. We told him, we're Methodist pastors. And my wife said, we feel you. I'm planting a church, starting a new faith community, and I felt so at home here. It makes me feel good that other churches have tech issues and loud children in worship, because it means that we are showing up. It means that we are trying. And praise God, it means that we are alive. May you have an alive faith that sings a new song. May you be bold in claiming your story. And may you be even bolder in listening to the story of others. May you worship. And may that worship be for your community a heavenly host promising life and love to a world that so desperately needs that message. And may God give all of us a song, a beat, a rhythm, and the lyrics to a new song that points to the kingdom.